Hey guys, welcome back. This is Lost Arts Radio Live. I'm Richard Sachs, your host. And, you know, I was thinking about what would I make the topic today if this was going to be our last show, which is not impossible because with the censorship going the way it's going, any of these shows could be. And that's the perspective I took in thinking about what we should talk about for a few minutes today. I guess before we really get into it, we want to remind you that if you don't want to totally lose touch with us, remember the website, lostartsradio.com, which hopefully will still be there if we disappear from the major platforms. And there's a place there that you can sign up for the mailing list so that if you can't find us on the places you're used to, you can put your name and email address there and we can at least embed videos or do something to get the same stuff to you or whatever's happening at that time. So for that, you can go to the website and sign up, or Doug set it up so that you could put an email to info@lostartsradio.com, and just whatever name and email address you want it to go to, you could put on that email. Or you have an option to text your name and email address to 928-235-4676 and accomplish the same thing. And the other thing is to bookmark our channel at Brighteon.com, which is Brighteon.com/channel/Lost Arts Radio. It's a great alternative site that needs a lot more traffic. It was started by our friend Mike, whose last name is forbidden to utter anymore. But they're not going to be censoring, and it's a good place to start supporting just by using it. Just watch videos there, upload videos there if you want to, and stuff like that. So why did I choose the title that I did for today's show, you know, about defeating evil when everything seems lost? And that's because, well, a couple of reasons. One is that I've been talking to people during the week since I saw you last time that feel a bit cynical and pessimistic about the future. And these are the people who have an idea what's actually happening, which could easily give you that impression because, you know, the censorship is really increasing, as I said, and there's just more insanity showing itself. And Mike has had some good articles about why that's happening in cities in America and Europe and other places more and more. And I agree with him that part of it is the influence of frequency weapons. That one of the whistleblowers who came out from a company in Seattle, Brian Coffran, I think his name was, disappeared really fast when he started talking about that, which is usually like a government seal of approval type thing. And he was saying, yeah, Barry Trower was right, of course. He's been on our show many times and on the Sunday show. All the archives of our shows with him are free. You know, you can just search for it. And very informative, educational about Wi-Fi and the same frequencies being used in Wi-Fi being similar to those used as weapons by, you know, they were developed by World War II or sooner. Barry was directly involved in discussing that with the Soviet spies that were captured and talking about their use of them, but the U.S. and Europe were using, and the UK were using them as well. So now, you know, it's quite a bit later than World War II time. That was in the 40s and 30s and 40s. And they haven't been sitting around saying, well, we'll just use that stage of technology forever. It's been developed more and more. And the ultimate purpose of it, of course, was for governments to use it against their own people and on a global scale as well as nationally. And so what this whistleblower that disappeared was talking about was how they were developing that ability and testing it on populations of millions of people. This happened to be in Seattle, but he was confirming that this is happening in cities all over the U.S. and elsewhere. And I think they're having some great success because a lot of the people going crazy in the cities, although they're paid to do that in many cases, they're really mad, right? But they don't know exactly what they're mad about. And they're protesting the president and protesting what they think is really horrible things, but they don't really know what they are. They can't think of anything substantial that the president did bad or the, any of the other things they're against, but they're really against them. And they've been encouraged to go around beating people up, using violence against people for the sake of peace and inclusion, I think, and diversity and all the things that are becoming the new religion in America and Europe and elsewhere in the world. They're defending goodness by beating up innocent people, and it, you're not supposed to have the ability to look at that with common sense anymore. And one of the things Mike was saying is that, you know, this behavior is really not normal. Even the really evil people usually have an idea, even if it's false, of what they're fighting for or against, or their cause. You know, we'll get into that later. But these people, a lot of them have no idea anything substantial that they're against, just that they're really against it. And it looks like successful test of citywide use of frequency weapons, as well as other things, the toxic material in the water, not just fluoride, but other chemicals that go with it, and carried by the fluoride and with the synergistic toxicity, making them more poisonous than just by themselves. So that's just a touch of what's going on. And you know most of the other stuff, hopefully, if you're watching this show frequently. And so back to the question, you know, why did I choose that subject to talk about today? Was it just because I wanted to be really gloomy and cynical and everything? Absolutely not. I don't feel that way at all. But I think it's important if you want to have a good impact on the world in some way or the people around you, that you have some, you know, awareness of what your environment is. And I got really interested in that quite a while ago. As many of you know, I started serious experimental research as an independent health scientist about 54 plus years ago. And I'm still really living that, you know, 24/7, because I find it real important and interesting, because, you know, we're on the three-dimensional plane here, the one they call the real world, and we're in these amazing, miraculous living costumes called physical bodies that are not as solid as they look. Our senses are just tuned to them to make them look solid, and we need to know how to keep those in good shape so that we can use them for something that we want to accomplish before we leave here, which is a very short time in anybody's lifetime. It just, you don't realize that till the end of it usually, but it is. So I started because I was in really terrible health condition back in the early to mid 60s. And I was being killed by the medical system. And so I dumped it and decided I'd either die more peacefully than that, or find out, you know, what the basis of health and disease and things like that really was. So I was studying health and natural protocols for the out-of-control degenerative disease. Once I started, you know, having success at fixing my own health situations, which I took me a while, but I did eventually, I was still interested in why is, you know, compared to when I was a kid in school a long time ago, you know, and I was a university student in the mid-60s, and back then, in the 50s and 60s, the kids weren't all sick. It's really totally different now. Something happened, and I was wondering what, and to understand it and then see what would solve it. And I know we're just told it's normal aging, right? If you have some terrible diagnosis from the doctor, it's because you're too old and you are supposed to have all these diseases, or you're supposed to be susceptible to everything that, you know, supposedly is carried by these germs, which is a misunderstood germ theory, but it's taken as true anyway. And or it's bad genes, you know, you just have bad genes. And even the degenerative diseases, especially with kids that are widespread now, they're just, you know, you're not supposed to see how ridiculous it is to say they're genetic, because the genetic things don't change that fast in general. So I thought just intuitively that junk shouldn't be necessary. You know, this is not really supposed to be constructed as hell on earth where you're born into a physical body that starts falling apart right away. And like the medical people will tell you now, well, once you're like 20 or 30, you start losing all your hormone balance and everything. And don't worry, because you can eat drugs, you know, what they call medicine, or you can have stuff injected into you to fix everything, your hormone balance and all that. And of course, you know, it's written that it will cause 100 times more problems than it masks, doesn't solve. It just obscures them usually. But that's fine, because they're going to have other chemicals for you to eat from that. And when it all has too much damage on your body, you can always start cutting out your organs, and that is really going to make things good. And I thought, it just seems like there's something wrong with this picture. And your body's not like a car that's supposed to rust and fall apart after a certain number of years. It's self-repairing. I don't really know any cars that have that ability, but the physical body does, or at least it's supposed to. And so if that doesn't happen, either we're getting handed defective bodies, which there's some element of that from the parents having terrible health, and some of that goes to the kids. But for the most part, our body has the ability to work just fine, and we're making mistakes in taking care of it. And I wanted to find out what those mistakes are, and what's going on with this evil germ theory, where the germs are just floating around to hurt you. What kind of a system is that? Is that like a giant mistake or a cynical joke from God, or is it a misunderstanding? And Pasteur, who popularized the germ theory, later on said, oh, sorry, it is a total misunderstanding, that it's the condition of the tissues that draw the so-called germs, the microorganisms that are just trying to do their job and break down dead matter. And if you fill up your body with this decaying, undigested garbage that is full of chemical toxins and everything, then the microorganisms are trying to do a good job and break it down, because they come right in and start doing that, and their byproducts can be kind of corrosive and hurt you. And so it looks like, you know, you're helping yourself by just killing all the germs, but it's not solving the root cause of the problem, and it leads to other problems. So I wanted to find out, is this whole thing a mistake of nature, or what are we doing wrong? So, you know, why is the world full of billions of people suffering from so much disease and degeneration? Is it a deficiency of drugs? You know, like the medical industry wants you to think, or injectable things that we don't want to mention too much because you get banned for even questioning those right away. I didn't think it was a deficiency of that stuff. So that's why I spent all those decades working on figuring that out. And the way I approached it, you know, was not just reading what you're supposed to think, although I did that too, but you start with intuition and hunches and observations and trying to notice patterns in what's going on, kind of like a detective solving a mystery, and then you come up with a test for it and a theory of what it might mean, and you start in trial and error and correction. That's called actual science, and that was taught as science in the past. Now science, and along with everything else, has become highly corrupted. And when I started getting into the stuff about health, I found, whoa, it's connected to everything else. This idea of specialized knowledge, where you become a super expert in certain things and you don't know anything about the context or other so-called specialties, that's how to get knowledge that you're going to misuse and you won't even know it. And that's the current part of the current educational system. So what I started following the threads of everything connected to everything else, and it was totally against what I learned in school. And so I thought, you know, what's that? Where did this come from? How did this all happen, that the current idea of what's true is so crazy? Is that just a big mistake or what? And that led me on to the next stage, and I thought, Well, you know, you've learned something about nature and how it works, and I was deeply involved in organic agriculture from about 1966 or so, and I worked with Alan Chadwick, who was, he was a student of Rudolf Steiner, and he came over and he was at the university when I was constructing this amazing demonstration garden, and I happened to be there at the right time and got connected with him. That was incredible. And once I learned about nature and all the harmony and that there are natural ways to take care of things, and just more and more and more technology was not necessarily going to make anything better. You have to be aware of context again, how you're using it, and you look at it more deeply to know how or whether to use it. So I saw it being misused all over, and I thought, you know, war and people starving to death and people under financial stress all over the world, even in very rich countries. And I realized that every country is very rich in different forms. Some have a lot of minerals of different kinds, or they can, you know, grow great crops and have water. They have different natural resources, are wealth, and those should naturally get converted with human creativity and labor into tradable wealth and inventions and things like that, and it should produce a fantastic level of life experience for people almost anywhere in the world. I don't know how well you could do that in the middle of Antarctica. I haven't been down there, and supposedly there's some strange things down there too, but in most of the countries there's the basis of wealth, and yet the people are really struggling. So I wanted to see what is going on. And I started about a 20-year investigation into the power structure of the world toward the end of the latter part of the health research. And I wanted to find out, you know, what are the causes of this very strange situation. I was really determined to see it through and not to just uncover a few pieces. I wanted the whole puzzle. Or, I mean, not saying that I would have understanding of everything, because there's always a vast amount more to learn, but I didn't want to just focus in on a little narrow part of it. I wanted to know more about context of everything, what the bigger picture looked like. And what I ended up finding out, even though after the decades of work with that, I still am really a absolute base level beginner, because I have an idea what more there is to see. But I got enough to start making some realizations, and to even deal with it and why things aren't harmonious and wonderful in the world, at least with humans and most other life forms now, I had to actually invent some consciousness tools. So I got forced into that, because looking at the power structure of the world is so horrible when you get into the deeper levels of what it is. It's like police that study murderers, you know, they have psychological problems as a result a lot of times. And or an actor that's a fantastic actor that's playing the part of an insane person and practicing it over and over and over and over again, it has an effect. So I had to learn this technique of splitting attention, which works, and it enables you to study and pay attention and analyze whatever you need to without being poisoned by it. Very important little technique there. We talk about that in Planetary Healing Club, but I can tell you about it a little bit now, because it's important every day. If you don't use it, then you're going to not feel very good, or you're going to say, I can't pay any attention to the bad stuff in the world because it's too upsetting. Neither one of those is a good option. So, you know, our time's going to be over in minutes here, but the basic idea of splitting attention is that you have if you're familiar with computer stuff, you've got a default setting where the attention you give something for strategic analysis is tied to the attention that you give it to absorb the emotional energy of that thing. So, for example, if you're looking at a very corrupt and malicious group in government that's doing terrible things to people, strategically you might want to know how they're doing it and what they're doing. And, I mean, you know, that's going on like everywhere. And I talked to people in state government this week that were trying to be brave enough to talk about some deeper levels of that. That's fine for strategic analysis to understand what's going on. But you've also got, this is not really on the physical level, but it affects you physically. You've got the faculty that's eating, it's kind of like eating energy. It's like eating frequency or emotional energy. When you talk to somebody, for example, and you eat, and they're in a really bad mood, and you focus on them and you leave yourself open to it or don't pay attention, you can absorb some of that by what's called resonance. It's like eating some of that energy. And in physical healing, not the drug approach, but the natural approach, you have to get rid of all the stored up toxic garbage in your body. And you do that by techniques based around variants of fasting. You can't fast on the emotional level, I don't think. At least I haven't found any way to do it. So the only thing you can do is change your diet, and you take that faculty of eating emotional energy and you put it on whatever image that makes you feel inspired and uplifted and incredibly beautiful and all that, and you don't move it. And while that's there, this takes some practice, but while that's there, then you take your analytical faculty and put it on whatever you have to study. And if you do that, you won't be messed up by the study you have to do to understand unpleasant things. That's what it was about. So what I found, and I'm, as usual, going to have to start skipping some of what I wrote down to share with you, bullet points here, because the time's going too fast. But I found a really complex system of control that was very sophisticated with, well, how would you say it, roots going back at least several thousand years, at least many thousand years. This is not a recent development. It's just reached a new stage recently. But it's an incredibly brilliant design. If it was for a constructive business, it would be, you know, great. But it's not really constructive. It's for the opposite of that. Constructed by a malicious intelligence that is very impressive. And it's kind of, if you made it analogous to a business model, it would be like a pyramid-shaped organization, you know, with little tiny group of individuals and families at the top, and then going, you know, managers under them at different levels, and each one given their own motivation and understanding of what they're doing, until it gets down near the base where all of us regular old people are trying to, you know, have a good life as much as we can and do the work we have to do and all that. That's what the diagram of the structure would look like. And there's different motivations given, as I say, to each level. Overall, it's an amazing total system of control. And at this point, after several thousand years of building it up, generation to generation to generation, that the people controlling it pass on their mission to do some unfortunate things to life on this planet. Their end goal has always been, I think, and I differ slightly with Mike on this, but we're in agreement on most of what's going on with it. The end goal, I think, is total extermination of life on the planet. That's the kind of stuff that I meant that is not real easy to seriously look into without being affected, unless you use that attention-splitting technique, which works. I thought, you know, what does this remind me of, this kind of goal and the structure they're using and all that? And I thought, oh yeah, a sacrifice, a religious ritual sacrifice, except it's not just like a virgin or an innocent person or an animal or a bird that you caught or something like that. It's life on this planet. That's a big sacrifice compared to the original ones that it comes from in religious scriptures and places like that. But the idea is the same. Spiritual benefit, in their case, in a dark version of it, from killing an innocent being exactly the right way, by the steps, giving the notices. Some of you know some about this already, and people don't understand a lot of stuff about that, partly because it's so unpleasant that anybody would be that evil. They don't relate to it, and they shouldn't have to relate to it. I mean, they don't want to think about it. And the ones that do think about it can't imagine that the people running it would want to do a suicide mission. which is, you know, what they're doing, because clearly, I mean, just out of logic, destroying the life support systems of the biosphere is not normally reversible by conventional means anyway, and that's what they're doing. And the only reason I'm getting into this is I'm defining some of the problem, and then I'm going to give you an unusual take on what would be a positive response to it. And some of the news shows, the really good news shows that we recommend as comprehensive and very valuable, which I can't mention because anybody that mentions them, unless they're saying they're terrible, is going to be kicked off the internet right away. And it's more useful if we can stay on for a while. And they're saying, oh yeah, we have to go fight these evil powers. And it's totally understandable and not completely unreasonable at all. But I'm saying that's not the way. That's the way that those powers want us to do it. And there's something stronger than that, that's more effective, that they want you never to actually know about. So the reason for the suicide mission is that after completing the sacrifice to specifications and doing it just right, they believe they get to merge with the dark power that they're worshiping, which I don't think is going to happen, but that it's making a big mess because they believe that. So I think, you know, as far, and I've talked to a lot of people at different levels in this system, and I think only the very highest levels understand that it's a plan for total extermination, because it would be really bad for the morale and motivation of the lower level managers. So a little bit down the pyramid, they're following orders. Well, at the top, I guess, to start it out, they're following orders from non-physical beings. And if that makes you think I'm completely crazy, that's fine. But humans have a very limited view of reality in general, and they don't realize that what we see as solid reality is only because that's the tiny bit of the electromagnetic spectrum called visible light that our senses are attuned to. And that there's more in existence than that. There's a lot more. And there are, well, I mean, that would be a long subject. We won't go too much into that. But at the top level, it's being run as people that are called crazy, like David Icke, say, and others like Alex have been getting a realization of lately. The top bosses are not in physical bodies at the moment, but the top physical ones are a few families and individuals that have been there in some form for a long time, sometimes changing names, but still the same continuation. And the ones at the top are opening themselves up to the influence of these non-physical beings. And actually, some lower down, we've had defectors from the Church of Satan and places like that that have explained, they've seen these visions appear in mirrors and things like that, that actually, you know, show up in the physical world. They're not imaginary. And most people have a natural barrier in your external energy field that keeps you from having to live in that world. And these guys are breaking that barrier on purpose, which is not a very good idea. But, you know, that whole thing is called Satanism, but the word doesn't matter. The label doesn't matter at all. It's what it actually is. And at the top levels there, it's not about money at all. They control the money system to keep the lower levels in line. It's like a drug addiction, but the drug is the drug of evil. And, you know, it's horrible. Normal people would say, why would that ever attract anybody? Well, if you get pulled into something by people who want you to be part of it and telling you how attractive it is and it's going to be really cool and you're going to become powerful and, you know, the people who are trying to be moral and ethical are just silly and you're going to find out the real way to get what you want in the world. You get pulled into it in the beginning. It doesn't taste good, like cigarettes when you're a kid in junior high school and you think, oh, it'd be really cool to smoke, right? And it just about makes you throw up. It tastes so terrible and it smells horrible. Getting it on your clothes is like rotten tobacco, and I mean, it's really repulsive, and you keep doing it and you keep doing it, and finally, not only do you like it, but you need it, and it owns you at that point. every single one of those physical addictions has non-physical parts connected with it. And it's the same thing with the whole satanic deal. It's a drug like a cigarette that you don't get away from. It normally, anyway, it is possible to get away from it. So I used that splitting attention thing to look at it, and I saw that the rulers had really infiltrated with that energy most of the power positions of governments and corporations now, all over the United States, even down to the local level, but in most parts of the world as well, in different forms. All kinds of corporations, banks, which are the function of banks is to make sure everybody stays enslaved. It's not to help you out with a great car loan. The car loan is your own money they're loaning you, but that's another issue. But banks, medical industry, these are all types of corporations that are infiltrated with the same program. Agriculture, growing poison food for your benefit, right? Education, media, entertainment, communications, energy, social services, transportation, top-level military, judges and courts, all the government agencies, the bosses at the various levels. Well, let's see. I don't have time to get into all this stuff, but there are people who are generally willing to sell out and give up ethics and morality for money and power and all kinds of presents that they get, promotion to higher levels, and especially if they are willing to do things that they can be blackmailed for, they can get high promotions, whether it's as a famous entertainer or a person running a governmental position or a high-level industry position, and they're almost all compromised. The vast majority of the people working for those same industries are really good people at the lower levels, just trying to pay their bills. And in a lot of cases, they're working for an industry that is doing massive harm, like the health industry, and they think they're helping everybody to get healthy and saving the world and stuff like that. Same with people working for the United Nations and other criminal organizations, actually think that they're doing something really good. They're well-meaning. And the banks are kind of in a special position in the whole picture, because they're function is to bring in debt-based economic systems that keep everybody totally enslaved and unable to ultimately pay things back. And all these rich countries that I said, every country in the world is, I think almost without exception, is super wealthy, and the people aren't super wealthy. So what's going on? The difference between that is the two levels is the central banks, one in virtually every country, and fractional reserve banking at a lower level, which we have all over the U.S. and is common everywhere, to make sure everybody stays in debt or people who can't or won't work, they're on welfare with conditions, and that keeps them completely controlled as well. It's a good system. In fact, now they're doing experiments in local places in Texas and Florida and probably elsewhere, of taking the growing homeless population that's been synthetically created anyway by the various conditions they've made, and bringing it, offering them to come into special protected living conditions. All they have to do is get an injected microchip that has all their benefits on it. Everything will be free. All they have to do is think and speak and act like they're told, and it's going to be great. And that's like a prototype currently being tested to roll out for the rest of the human population until they're eliminated. And it's in progress now. Direction and goal of the plan gets really clear when you start seeing this stuff. And to really be safe enough to complete this ridiculous plan, you've got to keep people sick and confused. That requires fake medicine, where you think you have something they actually call medicine, and it's a toxic chemical, and you're supposed to eat it or put it in a solution through a hollow needle into your body, and it has the most unbelievably horrible ingredients you can imagine. And most of the doctors have now just memorized what to do. They don't question anything. Otherwise, they lose all this money and position that they've got. You also need fake education, which we've got, indoctrination centers, and you've got to encourage hate and fear of anybody who's questioning the core beliefs. It's kind of like the old image of these guys that fish at the beaches for crabs, you know, they catch it, they put, like on a pier, they put down a crab trap and pull it up and put the crabs in a bucket, and they could get out of the bucket, but if one of them starts climbing and trying to reach the top, the other ones pull them down. And that's a really good system for the rulers of the world right now, and they use that by making people afraid and demonizing anybody who's questioning the system as a rule. And constant fear. Fear is a really good control system, whether you're running a religion with it or a government or an industry or anything. It's used pervasively. And an example is terror of catastrophes. I mean, they're even making rainstorms on television, named some of the regular rainstorms and making them terrified, and kind of a subset of the terror of climate change, that now they're conditioning little kids to make them terrified and go out and say, if you don't, you know, and then fill in the blank, give up whatever it is, you're all going to die in, like, I don't know what the deal is now. Maybe it was 12 years. Some people are now saying it's 7 years. And the reason you're going to die is because you're not giving everything to the new carbon exchange and paying taxes on taxes and making sure you don't use any energy and, you know, realizing and admitting that you're bad because you're a living human and you're actually breathing out this terrible poison called carbon dioxide that, well, yeah, plants do eat it and it's a beautiful system, but forget about that. It's a poison and everything emitting carbon dioxide has to be stopped, even though, and they show you this graph where carbon dioxide went up, you know, in a steep slope. Well, you look at the bigger graph like that, and we're at one of the lowest points of carbon dioxide in history, in geological history anyway. And it doesn't correlate with temperature, which is kind of embarrassing for the people pushing that, but it clearly doesn't. And it's been published. We've had a lot of articles that show the graphs on Lost Arts Radio. And if you take little pieces of it, it's like showing that, you know, vaccines cured polio. You just eliminate most of the graph of the prevalence of the disease, and you focus in on a little tiny piece of it that isn't even conclusive in itself, and make sure nobody sees the rest of the graph. But, you know, it helps with the fear programming, and then the radiation that we talked about from Wi-Fi and the smart devices and the citywide frequency weapons and things helps break down the mind and the body and makes people susceptible to suggestion, similar to being possessed in a way. It kind of takes over the mind and uses it for self-destruction. And now 5G, which is coming out, and the other Gs after it are being planned, are, as Mark Steele has recently explained on Lost Arts Radio, and that was an interesting show, along with Susan Clark and Barry Trower and other people like that, that there's education in those archives of the real issue with 5G and even with Wi-Fi and with the radiation coming out of smart meters. And in the gyms all over the country and probably other places, they're giving you these belts to wear that are really fantastic because they'll monitor your heart rate and they have wireless radiation being beamed out right next to your heart. It's an interesting thing that is spreading everywhere. And part of the terror that we see happening is supposed to be about climate change and global warming. So they have to spray very sophisticated mixtures into the air currents, which we've had guests on before, Russ Tanner and other people like that, to make sure they do disrupt the weather so that they can say, oh, the weather's disrupted. We have to spray more so that we don't boil the earth. I mean, it's circular thinking that if your brain is running on fuel from really dead poisoned food, then you might actually go along with that. And what's being put into the water helps dumb down the population as well. Chemical agriculture is doing its part, ruining the health of all the organisms in the soil. And now they're adding GMOs, which are worse. Jeffrey Smith has done a lot of good work on that. If you want to know about GMOs, look at his books. And he's coming out with a new movie called Secret Ingredients. I don't know if it's out yet, but that's supposed to be a really good source for learning about GMOs. Drug medicine destroys human health and is killing, according to a couple of doctors that wrote a really interesting paper, Gary Null and Diana. just going from memory, I got to remember her name. Gary Nolan is one of the authors, and it's called Death by Medicine, and it's a very good paper to look up. So that he figured probably on the low side that modern medicine in America is just killing probably 1 million people per year and ruining the life quality of the rest of us by putting us on multiple addictive medical drugs. And of course, I can't tell you to stop taking any of those. That's up to your doctor. But it's interesting how that system fits together, and along with the water pollution in the municipalities from fluoride, and which, according to CDC information on their site, has never helped teeth at all. The same improvements in dental health that are cited happened equally in countries that did and did not use fluoride. So, but, you know, they figure nobody's going to look that up. And the food industry is playing its part, producing a lot of dead processed poison garbage, and the live food is being eliminated systematically. They're at the top level. They know that the main nutrition is in raw food, which it is. I mean, that's what every mammal and other being is, with a few exceptions. Well, no, actually, no. There's no animals or other organisms eating cooked food except for parasites and bacteria in your gut that have to deal with what's left from it. But and in fact, it's interesting. If you feed cooked food to animals, they start getting human diseases, which is great for the veterinary industry, but it's not really great for the animals. And so they're trying to get rid of live food, raw food, organic raw food, as fast as possible. And there are actually big companies working on that project and relabeling things like nuts and seeds, for example, that are really powerful food when they're raw and organic. And they're heating them up high enough to kill everything in them, the enzymes and all aspects of life force, and then allowing them now to be labeled as raw even though they're cooked. And the average person is so busy trying to survive and get by, they're not going to know about those details happening. But there's certainly a war on nutritious food, and you know what's happening in education and what's being done to the kids and the gender confusion and the whole trans thing that is a complete fraud, and it's causing a lot of suicides. And I've met many people who have had their bodies mutilated, and whatever you want to call, you know, the result of that, and they're not in a very happy condition because they can't undo it. It's not, you know, if you make a mistake with your diet, you can fast and go on a juice fast or something and then get better nutrition in. But if you start hacking your body apart, thinking that that's freedom and whatever else wonderful thing it's called, and you realize that you made a mistake, that's not a good situation. So there are some people actually trying to help the victims of that. There's one, okay, there are people actually trying to help the victims of that. And one of the interesting sites, and the guy running it, is a site called sexchangeregret.com. I really recommend that you support and look at that, because he's doing some great work. And so many other things are being taught to the kids: division of sexes and so-called races, and judging people by skin colors, and totally ridiculous stuff like that is really being pushed in the name of overcoming it. And all the Agenda 21 stuff, trying to get rid of everything that's not sustainable, private property, single-family homes, rural places to live, and private transportation, like having your own car, your own small business, your own small farm. Basically, what they're teaching is that freedom is unsustainable. And there are people questioning all this stuff. The bigger picture, that's why I'm going through all this stuff. It's not like just GMOs or just geoengineering or just chemical agriculture or just nuclear power. It's good to work with those single issues, but your work with them is better if you understand the bigger situation. And if we want to solve it, the point is that just fighting certain things, you know, like trying to get nuclear power plants decommissioned and replaced with better energy sources and things like, or actually expose the real energy sources. Solar and wind are not very efficient, and at this point at least, and there are far, far better free and clean energy sources that people die to expose, but they've been available, as Dr. Greer says, for more than 100 years. That's going to be the issue with clean and free energy. I mean, it's beyond renewable. You don't have anything to renew. It's like zero-point energy is infinite supply. And the people that try to demonstrate and proliferate that stuff, they disappear or they commit suicide in some very creative ways and things like that. But that's where the energy sources are that are really needed. And still, you know, even with the resistance happening in Hong Kong, and I don't mean what the progressive people call resistance. That's they're being brainwashed. I mean, real resistance to tyranny is still usually not aware of the bigger picture. Real comprehensive understanding is very rare, needs to spread. Instead of just, I mean, a single issue awareness is good, because like the people working to preserve private property and property rights and organic food and whatever it is they're focused on, that's really good. But with the lack of the bigger picture understanding, we're not going to be in time, because they can come up with more problems faster than these single things can be solved. And they mostly won't allow the single things to be solved anyway. So it requires a different approach. And right now, just in case that approach comes up, they're thinking that, well, we'd have to cut off free speech, because otherwise people might start talking about what could really stop us. And that wouldn't be acceptable. So this is why I told you in the beginning, bookmark our site on Brighteon.com for Lost Arts Radio, Brighteon.com/channel/Lost Arts Radio, and our website, LostArtsRadio.com, and the nonprofit website, which tells about the bigger project that we'd really like to do if we ever get the money to do it. And we're not doing commercials, in case you haven't noticed. We're not monetized on any big platforms. The only way we're going to have a chance of surviving financially is that we have donation buttons on LostArtsRadio.com and LostArtsResearchInstitute.org. And if you're in a position to help financially, it would really make a difference of whether we get to stay on the air and expand into all these projects that are waiting right now that are time sensitive, and we need to get them going right now. So if you're a friendly billionaire that's watching and you want to help out, change the future of humanity, you might want to consider that or talk to us about it. And if you have discretionary income on a smaller scale, please help us out, because I don't feel good about doing the commercials at this point, because if we're promoting a product, it's partly because we're getting money from it, and I'd rather promote a product and say, hey, I tried this really great form of iodine or a water filter or a solar generator or whatever, you know, because I tried it, or some kind of food that I like, this place that is overcoming the elimination of raw nuts and seeds is called Living Nuts, LIVINGNUTZ in Maine, I think. And if you call them and ask them, there's a guy there named Davey, and he knows about this processing temperature that shouldn't go over 115 Fahrenheit, and then it's really raw. That's the kind of commercial I like to do, because I get nothing. There's no money deal going on. Not that money's evil. We need money really immediately. But if I recommend Davey and Living Nuts and giving them some free advertising, it's because I order nuts from them and they're really good prices, and they're actually raw. And I could do a lot of those, and I will from time to time. Anyway, the censorship of real health information is getting more and more complete, and same with real environmental information, not the fraudulent, you know, panic over climate change that's happening to take away your rights. But there are really immediate environmental issues that have to be dealt with, and those are being censored, along with the energy stuff I talked about, people coming illegally into your country, which is not nice diversity inclusion stuff. It's national suicide. And we're being dumbed down to the point where we can't understand that. All kinds of criminal, you know, government programs are being censored. I mean, talking about them, and religious terrorism and invasion and the fact that firearms rights are absolutely essential for the people living in any country in the world. They're like what the founders of America called one of the God-given rights, like free speech. That's why you can't, if you're having an actual government which is doing good things for the people and operating like the founding documents of America said it should, you can't ever get rid of firearms rights and free speech and freedom from illegal search and seizure, which would eliminate all the 5G stuff and all that. You have to preserve jury nullification, smart grid awareness, and eliminating the enslavement of the smart grid and the health damage. And you have to have that information out there freely. So the noose is tightening worldwide right now. I'm trying to talk faster because I want to give you most of this information. And, you know, here in the U.S., we've had kind of a bump in the road for the destruction agenda because there's a president who's got plenty of faults, but he doesn't hate the country. And what they say about him on the mainstream news is everything I've heard is false. He's a good person. And he's not a racist or a Russian agent or any of that junk. But he's got huge areas of ignorance that are going to be the downfall if they're not corrected. And one of them is that the coming election in 2020 is going to be completely controlled. And the last one in 2016 was, but not quite enough. This time it's going to be overkill. And they could run, you know, a dead mongoose or something, and it would win because of what's going to be done in the coming election. So, like most Americans, that president doesn't see the big picture, and he's making a big mistake, thinking he's helping the economy by supporting 5G and biotech and the toxic medical industry, and doing nothing about the censorship, saying that it's free market, private businesses. That's false. Any of these things alone could be deadly. But if he or any of the others, big leaders, could get the larger picture, it would be incredible and unlimited and great possibilities. So the power structure is working hard to prevent that from happening. They understand that if the leaders became conscious, it would be incredible and the world would be, you know, remade, basically a new renaissance. But well-meaning leaders need to access more of that information. They need to be supported by the people in their countries, and that's still missing because people are falling for this programming of being polarized, hating each other. The people working for the companies that are doing the censoring think that they don't realize they're making a big mistake. And if you do something bad to other people, like cut off their free speech, you're hurting yourself, and it doesn't look like it. It looks like if you're with the bad guys, you're getting away with everything. Nobody gets away with anything. That's a deeper law of nature. It doesn't matter what religion you are, what you believe, or if you think God is real or anything else. There are laws of nature that hold the whole structure together. And it's not just the people who are calling themselves liberals and progressives that are missing huge areas that they're not aware of, and they've got a lot of misconceptions. A lot of people thinking they're conservatives are not doing anything to stop the censorship. They're thinking it's a private company. They're supporting biotech and 5G as free market, and a lot of the anti-Agenda 21 groups that understand that are thinking that all the environmental issues are frauds, and they're completely missing the boat on that. The progressives are thinking that government should control healthcare and that's going to make everything great. Huge mistakes they're making, all these different groups. So, and the organic organizations are showing that they have no concept of economics, and thinking that communist ideas with wealth redistribution and things are going to make utopia. And that mistake has been made historically over and over again with disastrous results. Even the benevolent anarchists are not seeing that borders in a current world like it is now are absolutely essential. And just having no government is not going to lead to paradise at the moment. And the kids in the educational systems tend to fall for it too. So the future looks dark on the outside. The satanic rulers are in charge, and no system can work with unconscious populations. So, you know, where does this lead? Is it totally hopeless? No. Why is it not hopeless? Talking at high speed here, because I had already been forced, as I told you in the beginning, into an investigation of what I would call consciousness, although the name doesn't matter. And remember the thing of splitting attention. It didn't end there. It went much farther. And got into some interesting old information from ages past, and I knew that we had unlimited potential, but how could you access it? You know, if 1% of the brain is used, as we've heard a lot, what percent of our consciousness is being used, which is a much bigger question? And could this be used practically to actually help the world situation? How? Not by beliefs, but by real experience. And how many people would it take? Which people would it take to make it turn around? And how could we find them? And how would they begin to actually do the work involved? And I knew that the idea starts with working on yourself, that one of the big illusions is to make everybody else reform themselves, when the power to actually influence them to do that comes entirely from changing yourself first, starting with the physical body. But it goes on from there, and a lot of the teachers who knew this in ancient times were teaching exactly the same thing, as well as how to do it. And I found out what some of them were teaching and the steps in how they said to do it and how it would affect the outside world. And it needs to be done on a bigger scale, because we've got a pretty serious situation that we're in, as you can imagine. So I spent about 40 years adapting what the old teachers of those techniques and protocols were doing to current environments and situations. And it doesn't have any downside. It creates a quality of life experience and consciousness, and it's almost like a high that the drug addicts are trying to get, but they're doing it the wrong way. You know, they're using protocols and vehicles like drugs of all kinds that have serious downsides, like gradually destroying your physical body, really messing up your mind and doing all these horrible things to you. The consciousness work doesn't have any downside. It takes work is the only kind of downside to it, but it's worth it, because the alternative is that we let things fall apart the rest of the way, and then it really will be dark for a while. So it's true that no system of government can work without conscious people, but what if a small number of people started to do that work? They could affect the others by something called resonance, which I don't have time to explain anyway because we're out of time, but just by changing who you are, you can change other people better than anything you could possibly explain or try to impress them with. Who you are is what you know, affects them the most, and there's a way to change that. So what I came down to is that you, not the rest of the audience, but you personally are, you know, maybe thinking that you're not that significant, and it's not true. You're like the major key to what happens for the future of the world, life on this planet. It's you. And we've all been educated and conditioned to think, you know, there's nothing we can do. We're 1 out of 7+ billion people, and everybody's going crazy. So, you know, might as well just give up and play video games or watch movies or play sports or whatever and try to forget it. And it gets worse when you do that, and you don't get better either. So my response was, how can we encourage people to realize what an incredibly powerful being you are? That you are virtually unlimited if that consciousness is brought back. Exactly the opposite of what we're being trained to think and believe. So I created, with Doug's help, the Planetary Healing Club on a private platform that's not going to get censored, at least for a while. And the access point to that is planetaryhealingclub.com. If you have questions about it, just email us whenever you want to. It's got projects in mind, but even right at the moment, we're giving, before we have a physical school, before we have the money to build that, which I hope happens, we're doing what we can online in the Planetary Healing Club private platform. You can be part of that if you want to. If you're not sure if it's worth it for you, you can write and ask us about it. we're giving out information you can use to transform your life right now if you want to. And then later, if we can, we'll build a physical school to go with it. And I'm over time. So remember, the Sunday shows are continuing for the moment. They're all free educational guests and individuals and organizations that are inspiring and really interesting to listen to. And you can see those if we disappear from major platforms. You can see them on brighteon.com/channel/LostArtsRadio. The two sites, LostArtsRadio.com and LostArtsResearchInstitute.org, both have donate buttons. If you have the resources to help us, that would really be a good thing to do. And I do a few private sessions one-on-one with people in difficult situations or who just want to get a boost in transforming their own life immediately when I have time. And that money goes to the nonprofit as well, Lost Arts Research Institute. I think that's about it. Hopefully I remembered all the basic stuff I wanted to tell you. Value yourself. Every second that you've got in the remaining part of your life in a physical body is super important and has vast potential. So value your time. That's one thing I'd share with you. And Planetary Healing Club meeting in about 30 minutes. And we'll look forward to seeing you next week. I really appreciate being with you again. And I hope you have a good rest of the weekend. And stay in touch. Any questions, email richard@lostartsradio.com. And I'll answer as quick as I can. Have a good week.
Introducing Lost Arts Radio on Subscribestar.com. Just go to Subscribestar.com/LostArtsRadio to find our rewards program offering 10 different giving levels starting at just $5 a month. We offer incredible value for any rewards level, from extra monthly interview videos not available publicly to subscription-based Planetary Healing Club videos once, twice, or three times a month, to private counseling sessions with Lost Arts Radio host Richard Sachs, to tech help with me, Doug Diamond. We even have one option where you can be the star on Lost Arts Radio as our guest on a specially produced show just for you. We conduct an interview with you and broadcast it to our growing network and listenership. Our Subscribe Star levels are one of a kind and offer great rewards for any budget. Please help support Lost Arts Radio. We can't do it without you. With increasing censorship on many of our channels, we really need your support today to keep doing what we're doing. As Richard says, we're not even at survival level yet. Lost Arts Radio has three weekly shows. Lost Arts Radio Live each Saturday night at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, which is a live stream currently on multiple platforms in case we get banned from some of the larger ones. Right now, we're on two YouTube channels, Facebook Live, Periscope, which is Twitter, Twitch, and DLive. You can access these broadcasts by going to www.lostartsradio.com/live for all the links to those channels. The Planetary Healing Club meets right after Lost Arts Radio Live at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Saturday nights. And our Sunday show with guests airs at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Sunday nights on our Blog Talk Radio channel, our YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and on Brighteon. Be sure to sign up for our free email list just in case we do get banned on big tech's platforms. It's just a matter of time, really. They don't like the stuff we talk about, and they do not want the truth out there. In fact, they have already attacked us numerous times. Join our free email list so we can let you know where we are and how to access our shows. The sign-up button is right on the top right on most pages of our website. The best starting point for all things Lost Arts Radio is our main site, LostArtsRadio.com, where you can find the hottest news selection videos that we curate just for you. Those are on the homepage and added to daily, as well as articles and breaking news about information you really need to know. Our show archives, the 10 most recent shows, are right on our homepage, as well as our Blog Talk Radio page at blogtalkradio.com/LostArtsRadio, or just click the All Things Radio Show tab right on our website. We're in the podcast directory on iTunes, and all of our shows except the banned ones are on our YouTube channels at Lost Arts Radio and at Diamond Disc. Our Brighteon page is really taking off, and we often have editors' picks videos right on their homepage. Visit Brighteon.com/channel/Lost Arts Radio. On our site, you can also access our free listener forum as well as sign up for the Planetary Healing Club, which is just $25 a month, where you get private access to a one-on-one interaction with host Richard Sachs and myself and the other club members who participate live. More info can be found at planetaryhealingclub.com. We're providing solutions in there to make the world a better place. Come join us. Thanks again for listening to and supporting Lost Arts Radio. We love having you as part of our family to learn, experience, and grow with.